Paula Speaks. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Robert K. Wilcox. His website is robertkwilcox.com. He is the author of several books, and we are today discussing Target Patton, the plot to assassinate General George S. Patton. And I do have the paperback edition of that book. There are a couple of questions out of the chat room. Was there an incident with Patton called the Patton slapping incident in Messina, Italy in 1943? And how was that set up? Do you know anything about that?
Oh, yeah. That occurred. Patton, he slapped a soldier who was suffering from, you know, the fear of battle and fatigue, which happens often. And Patton, you know, was a very, you know, he had a high threshold for what you should be able to endure, and he slapped the guy because he felt that it was terrible that a guy could be whimpering and shaking and crying over battle in the same tent, where other men who had been hurt worse, amputees and so on, were stoically enduring what had happened to them. And this was a problem with Patton, that he would do that. A problem, I mean, you know, listen, he was a war fighter. War is horrible. War is terrible. So he did that, and the press, which was always after him, you know, it's a similar situation to today, and this is such a good moment to say that what was going on in 1945 is going on today. We're having the same battle between the left and the right. And the press was leftist, and they wanted to get rid of Patton. He represented, you know, toughness and fighting and standing your ground and all the things that the left tries to take from us right now. And he would so they quickly wrote about it, and then it becomes a PR situation, like we have, you know, our politically correct situation today. We cannot identify who the enemy is. They are bad people who fight or something. You know, they're not Islamic terrorists. Well, the press just really killed him, and Eisenhower had to deal with it. People aren't going to like this, so they gave Patton a reprimand, and he was put in the doghouse and told to keep it quiet. Patton did have the propensity to sound off and say what he thinks. Gee, what a terrible thing to say the truth and say what you think. So he did that all the time, and this was the thorn in the administration's side. But they kept him down, and that's because of that, and because of several other small incidents like that. He was taken out of his hands the D-Day invasion, which he, by all rights, should have led. So he, as a consequence, he had to sort of be a decoy, and he did it greatly, and didn't get over there until after the D-Day landing. But anyway, that incident occurred, and yes, it has to do with what might have happened to him, how he might have been killed, in the fact that he was a guy who told the truth. You couldn't buy him. He was independently wealthy, by the way, and you couldn't intimidate him. He was a good soldier, though. He would listen to his superiors, and he would do what they say. He would just argue with them, and that's my answer to that.
Okay, in your book, on page 331, you say Patton was an unusual type of military man who was not only physically courageous but also possessed the rare quality which the Germans call civil courage. And he dared to speak his mind and act according to his convictions. We'll talk about that when we get back. Be right back in 3 minutes.
Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. CoQ10 with hawthorn, glucosamine chondroitin, sea cucumber, Colloidal Minerals, Superfam and Super Male Plex, Colon Enhancer, our top-selling liquid, Cal Mag Vitamin D, MSM Sulfur Capsules, and Elderberry Power Capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com. That's herbalhealer.com.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. Theravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from Theravim? Simple. Theravim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to Theravim.com. That's TERRAVIM.com. Theravim, the best supplements on earth.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us at 1-877-605-9200.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Robert K. Wilcox. His website is robertkwilcox.com. And I was reading in your book, he dared to speak his mind and act according to his convictions. And in my mind, he was one of the real generals, as opposed to Eisenhower. I think that there are politically appointed generals versus the old-fashioned kind of general who operate under kind of a different set of principles. And I'm thinking people like General Smedley Butler. I kind of compare Patton to Butler. And I also believe that the Butler met his end in a hospital facility, a military hospital facility, which, you know, kind of makes me wonder how many other people they've killed in addition to people like Forrest Dahl and others who really have spoken what they thought and ended up getting dying.
I agree. Forrest Dahl, for instance, too. Yeah, that's a very strange story. And I think that you're right to wonder about that, because in fact, I believe it goes on to this day. There are people the government can call on to kill you, and they do it. And if you're not, you know, this is all hush-hush, and the order to kill Patton, it certainly was not one that was written down. That kind of stuff is never written down. It's just, as Bezzotta talked about it, after these many, many meetings, he had like eight, what to do with Patton went from stop Patton to kill Patton. It came about like this. He met with Donovan. This is what he's saying. He met with Donovan, and Donovan said, you know, we have this great general. He's just done so much for us, but now he's going to wreck everything. we can't let him do this. What are we going to do? And Bezzada, a forthright guy, says, well, do you want me to kill him, sir? And Donovan looked at him and said, you do what you have to do. You see, that's the way they do that.
Sure.
It's like, boy, wouldn't it be nice if I didn't have that problem anymore? Don't worry, sir. We'll take care of it. And that's the way these things are done. And so I think you're right to wonder that. And the method of killing, the car accident is a classic way. Stalin loved it. They all love it. And the reason is it looks like an accident. Duh. That's the reason they use that. And if you don't kill the guy in the accident, why, he goes to the hospital. And killing someone in a hospital is then infinitely more easier because it's easy to get in. You masquerade as a doctor or an orderly. You go in. You don't even have to touch the patient. If the patient has an IV in him, you just inject the IV into the IV with a poison. And in the book, in Target Patton, I discussed that. The NKVD had developed many, as well as the OSS, had developed many ways to kill people that dissipate, and you'll have no trace of, really. They can make you have a heart attack, make you have an embolism, and so on. And it can be done just like that, and they had those things. And so this was a common way to do it, and it's done today.
Right, and that's why they took him to the military hospital instead of the hospital in Mannheim.
Well, yeah, of course, in Mannheim, it would have been a military hospital, too. At that time, the U.S. was running everything, and we were an occupying force, so we were running everything, so that was not a problem. And, you know, that's an interesting point you bring up, because if he'd gotten home, it's infinitely harder to do this. If he'd gotten home, you know, when Patton came home just 6 months before, he was given a tremendous parade down in California and also New York. He was I think the polls showed that he was the third most popular person in America at the time. Certainly could have been elected to office if he wanted. And so you wouldn't want to have anything happen to him in America because the press would be all over it. But in Germany, in war-torn Germany, in the occupation with the Germans still mad at us, it was easy to do it. You had no problem there. Everything was controlled. It was obvious that some disgruntled person, if that ever got out, did it. It was just the way to do it. And so the last day was the last chance they had, and they did it.
Indeed. All righty. We do have some callers lining up. Why don't we take a phone call? Let's take Steve in Virginia. Steve, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Hello. I had a question. I'd remembered, I think it's been a few years now, hearing this man share about, I don't know if it was a backup plan or not, but that there was a sniper with a rifle there at near the accident site, and that was used, or maybe it was there as a backup plan. Is there any credibility to that?
Yes. In Target Patton, my book, you'll hear the whole story on that. Bezzada says that he set the accident up and the truck turning in that way that it did so that he would have a killing lane. Bezzada was a world-class sniper. He was as good as anything we have today, and this was his daily job. And he was given, he said, a rifle that didn't shoot bullets. He used something like not a rubber bullet, but it looked like a bolt. The bolt would then and he actually had fixed the window on the car so he could shoot into it. And just a small, slight amount, and you have to know about the configuration of the car, what kind of window it was, and so on. But he was behind a lot of war debris. This this street that they were on, this road they were on, was lined with war debris, which provided a perfect place to hide. And when the truck turned, he was like 20 feet away, which is an easy shot. I mean, think of even JFK being killed at, you know, hundreds of feet away. This is an easy shot. And the truck hitting the car caused the car to go a certain way and gave him a killing zone, and he shot it in there. That's the way he, and what he did is the impact kicked back the NIC. Now in the conventional story, Patton is thrown forward in this Cadillac that he was in. The back compartment is a large area, maybe 5 feet from the back of the seat to the barrier where the driver then was sitting in the front.
Yeah.
And the story is that he literally missiled forward, hit his head on the barrier, and then missiled back, because he ends up in the seat, in the lap of the man who's across the seat from him. It is much. I had a veteran accident investigator investigate the accident for me. I gave him all the parameters and everything. And first of all, this accident investigator, she said that there's no way he would have been missiled forward, because at the angles that everything was he would have hit the window that he was looking out of. It's interesting, the last thing that Patton said, and this comes from something that the guy next to him says several years later, the last thing he says is, look at that. He's looking out the window right at that war debris, at all that piled debris. He says, look at that. What does he mean? Does he see something, a rifle butt coming out of there? I don't know. But those were his last words. And then he ends up a foot and a half over across the seat in the lap of his aide. The idea that he missiled forward and then back, you have to imagine a V kind of a thing. He would have, the first part of the V, he goes up, hits his head 4 feet in front of him, and then his entire body missiles back into the lap. I don't buy it. It makes more sense what Bezzata said. So that's the situation that I know of as far as the rifle goes.
Yeah.
And,
so the
I'm sorry.
He fired intending to, I guess, make sure that the deed was done. But he, because of the impact, the bolt or the
it's a rubber bolt or
projectile
a rubber
went,
bolt.
It went to another. It hit another spot, I guess.
No, it hit him right in the. I asked Bezzata, and this gets very detailed. You really got to read the book to get all the nuances of this. But by the time I saw Bezzata, he would have never talked to me in a million years. He was a sworn, and he has a history, and you'd have to read all that. But he'd had a stroke. He opened up to me when he never would have opened it. But anyway, I asked him, I said, where did this bullet hit? And he said it hit right in his forehead. Well, Patton, what happened was Patton has a broken neck. The force of the bullet, and I said rubber, I'm not sure it was. We don't know what it was made out of. That kicks his head back, breaks his neck. Do you understand what I'm saying? And the interesting thing about that is that when Patton is admitted into the hospital, and I have all his hospital records, the first thing they look at is a bloody gash right in his forehead.
Hmm.
So, gentlemen.
Gentlemen, I'm sorry, we have to go to break. Steve, you're welcome to stay over, and we'll pick this up on the other side.
Thank you.
Ground beef, eggs, butter, cheese, soup, sandwiches, strawberries, ice cream, coffee, and more. What do these foods have in common? They all come in storable, long shelf life food for you to save and use in uncertain times. Rather, if it is a meal or a snack for a family or just yourself, CampingSurvival.com offers a huge variety of storable food for you to be prepared anytime. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order all your food. Eat today, save it for tomorrow, or store it for years to come. CampingSurvival.com sells healthy, nutritious, storable food in number 10 cans and pouches. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. Remember, save 5% off with code FREEDOM at CampingSurvival.com on all your prepared food needs.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing LifeStraw from MyPatriotSupply.com. LifeStraw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. LifeStraw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. LifeStraw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing LifeStraw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Seed Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tattler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com. For emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Robert K. Wilcox. His website is robertkwilcox.com. And Bob, the last thing you said was the first thing that the hospital looks at is the gash in Patton's forehead. And it's amazing why he would have a gash in his forehead because it seems like he wouldn't have hit anything that would have caused it.
The traditional story is that he missiled through the air and either made the gash when he hit the barrier, which is 4 feet away, or on the top, on the roof. It's all speculation. No one saw what happened. There was nobody around except those three people and the people in the truck who we haven't talked about yet. And those are the only people there. Within minutes, there's a whole... There are eventually 100 people that come out there, which is very strange itself.
And they didn't even have cell phones then, right?
So how they didn't have cell phones, no. They didn't know. You had to smoke signals, you know. I don't know how they did it, but they did have walkie-talkies and everything. This is all speculation, and yet it has gone down in the annals as absolute fact that he hit his head on either the light at the top of the compartment or the area, you know, which was a hard surface separating the driver from the back. I don't buy that because of the idea. Well, first of all, my investigator said it wouldn't happen given the angles.
Right.
If you put your hand out in front of you and then turn it slightly to the left, and you put your, you see that someone's sitting in the very end, they go forward, they hit your, you know, your knuckle. They don't hit your, the tips of your fingers.
Right.
So, it didn't happen that way anyway, but it's always been written in stone that it did, and nobody knew that. They just went ahead with the standard version, which of course is the way that you do these cover-ups. You plant stories, you say this is how it happened, and it's over with, and people just, and then people come back years later and they read in books that that's the way it happened, and that's the way it happened.
Right. Kind of like the JFK assassination.
Exactly.
All right. Do we still have Steve on the phone?
Yeah, thank you. I just was wondering, we understand, you know, that, of course, Stalin was a part of this, the New World Order, Zionists, the people at that time, you know, and in with the plan for Europe and such, but is it possible to know where these orders originated, how high up as far as the order to get rid of Patton?
Well, we touched on that earlier in the show. All I can trace it to is Bezzotta telling me that Donovan gave him that order. And it wasn't even a real order. It was, as I just explained, we have this wonderful general who's done so much for us, but he's now threatening to undo it all. What are we going to do? How are we going to get rid of him? And the suggestion is left to Bezzotta, who says, "You want me to kill him, sir?" And Bezzotta was a trained assassin and did that. He killed people for our government and against our government.
And he just happened to be talking to the higher-ups at that time.
He's talking to Donovan. Now,
right.
Where did Donovan get the idea?
Hmm.
I have to assume that Donovan himself was talking with higher-ups. But Donovan is an interesting case because Donovan didn't go through regular channels. The only people that he really listened to or who could really order him around were Marshall and then FDR. So you can leave it at that. I have I have no proofs or even I've never uncovered anything that goes higher than Donovan.
Now wasn't Bernard Baruch a close friend of Eisenhower? And when the United States entered World War II, Roosevelt appointed Baruch as a special advisor to the director of the Office of War Mobilization.
I don't know about that particular thing, but what you're talking about brings up a very important part of this whole story, and that is that our government at that time was riddled with communist agents, people working for Stalin. And we know this now, and this is one of the interesting things, one of the important points. Nobody knew about this, really, except for very, very high-level people, until the late 1990s. And, we all quickly berate McCarthy. McCarthy, who was a drunk. McCarthy, who said all these things. And it has been allowed to make him a demon. In fact, McCarthy was getting information from Venona. Venona is the, not Verona, but Venona, if you look it up. It is the just recently declassified breaking of the Russian codes. We
right.
were doing that at the end of the war. We were listening and breaking their code, and this was super, super top secret, and it never has been related yet until just recently. And in those codes, we now know all of the agents who are daily sending back stuff to Patton, who are being to Stalin, who are paid. And you know, just to give you a sense of it, I mean, Alger Hiss, the left still says he was framed. Alger Hiss was giving Stalin daily reports at Yalta on what FDR was going to say the next day. And this is all in Venona.
Right.
Lawrence Dugan was in the State Department. He was a communist agent. He was
Bob, I'm sorry, we have to go to a break, but let's pick this
you
up.
You can't do that
side.
To me. All right.
I know, it's terrible. I hate it. But we do have to go to one. Be right back in 3 minutes.
are listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Listen up. This isn't some Detroit car commercial. And this isn't how we do it. Not in any America I know. We don't take away the rights and call it public safety. We don't burden folks with something called Obamacare and call it affordable. We don't take what you earn and call it a fair share. That's not America. That's not how it's done. In my country, in my America, earning has always been better than receiving. If that's what you believe, this is America, and we're about to show you how it's supposed to be done. Step up and be heard by participating at AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Join us and stand up for the America you know at AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. That's how it's done. Now do it. You have a voice. Now use it.
Are you prepared? Are you ready? You should be. CampingSurvival.com is your source for camping supplies, survival gear, and survival food. Whether you are an emergency preparedness-minded individual interested in MRE, a hardcore hiker in need of paracord, a water filter system and fire piston, or you just need a basic first aid kit or emergency kit for the family, CampingSurvival.com is the right place. Call CampingSurvival.com today, toll-free at 800-537-1339. CampingSurvival.com. It's not about the end of the world. It's not about surviving a hypothetical plane crash. It's about the satisfaction you get knowing you can take care of yourself and or your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. Visit CampingSurvival.com now and receive 5% off any purchase with the code FREEDOM. CampingSurvival.com.
Now more than ever, killing many viruses and bacteria in our homes and at work is important. With the flu epidemic running rampant, you need to protect yourself and your family the best you can with purified air. Our air purifiers not only kill many viruses and bacteria in the air, but on surfaces too. Our air purifiers will also kill molds, fungi, mildew, oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases, removes dust, pollen, pet odors, and smoke. We have portable units.
All right, we are back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Robert K. Wilcox. His website is robertkwilcox.com. And you mentioned McCarthy, and saying something quite the opposite was somebody like Walter Duranty, who was a Stalin apologist, and he won the Pulitzer Prize in 1932 for all these stories about the Soviet Union, and he actually was a drunk and a sex pervert and everything else. As opposed to McCarthy, who was actually telling a lot of what was true.
That's very true. That Pulitzer Prize winner is a very important factor because the New York Times, like today, was just, you know, giving you a lot of bull about Russia. There's a very interesting story that really nails this on the head. Can I tell it?
Sure.
FDR, when he first served, his vice president was Henry Wallace. Henry Wallace was a do-good liberal, and he was the reason that Truman got on the ticket because by the third term, the opposition was really raising heck about Wallace. He was just such a leftist and so out and out about it. He loved Russia and so on, so that's why they dumped him. Well, think about this. If Henry Wallace had not been dumped, and he was the vice president, and if he had taken over when FDR had died, he had said that he was about to appoint a cabinet that would have had Lawrence Dugin, a paid agent for the Russians, and Henry White as his two chief cabinet officers. at Treasury and the other one at State. And this is amazing. We would have had two cabinet officers who were actually, you know, paid agents of Stalin. Luckily, they'd gotten rid of him. But that's how bad and how infiltrated the government was. And this bears on Patton. This is what Patton had to deal with. He's sitting back during the war and in the occupation, saying, "Hey, these Russians are bums. They're terrible. They're gonna put an iron curtain over Eastern Europe." And he's telling it to these kinds of people. They are absolutely not going to buy it. Morgenthau, being the head of Treasury, who actually had a plan to. There was a plan, and I'm just not able to say the word because I can't think of it. But it has to do with taking their manhood away. This is what he wanted to do. He wanted to do that to every male in Germany. These kind of turn Germany into a agrarian state. I mean, this was an administration that was really, really, if you didn't go with Russia, you were banished.
Right. All righty, let's take some more calls. Do we still have Steve on?
Yeah, actually. I don't want to take all the time. I just had one. You're pretty persistent, Steve. Oh, that's all right. It's very interesting and informative. I just wanted to ask, is it possible to say whether any of these people, including this Posada, are any of the people still around living?
No. Douglas Posada died shortly after I interviewed him, and Stephen Skubic actually was dead when I found out about him, but he wrote a book called The Death of Patton, and it was only for his family, and I got in touch with the family, got the book, and was able to get, you know, this tremendous story about how he found out about the plot, had tried to stop it, and so on. But most of the people involved here are dead.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, I better get off. I sure appreciate being able to ask the questions, and thank you for your work. We appreciate
thank you very much.
The guests and your work, and of course, Deanna, as always. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate your call.
Okay.
All righty, let's take Werner in New Brunswick. Werner, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Deanna. And good afternoon to your guests.
Thank you.
Yeah, you've got quite a variety of guests on your show. And I was listening to about Patton. I read a while ago that he died only two or three days later in the hospital, even though he was recovering. I didn't know that he died over a week later of a blood clot.
Yes, actually it was approximately 2 weeks later. There's a lot of myth about what happened. I, for instance, before I did this, and the way I got onto this was I was under the impression that he'd been killed in the accident right there at the scene, and he had a Jeep accident. Well, you know, there's just a lot of misinformation about it, but he died of these embolisms. An attack of embolisms, really, that's what it was, almost 2 weeks after he had been after he was admitted in the hospital, but just as he was ready to go again, he had made a miraculous recovery, and then, he died.
Well, in regard to embolism, they can be caused real easy.
Yes, they can.
Overoxidizing the blood.
Yes, an embolism can be caused easily, and it's not beyond the realm of possibility that it was just a natural thing.
As I say, nearly 2 weeks after, that is a kind of unusual.
Well, to me, what's unusual is that he was on the rise. They didn't have the. If you're going to have embolisms, you're going to have a little bit of problem beforehand. But he was doing fine. His records show that he was so good that they were going to put him on a plane and he was going to fly home and resume his life. You know, the story of whether or not Patton was murdered is not, doesn't boil down to one of these. That's the, that has to be kept in mind. It's so many of these, unusual mysteries and circumstances taken one at a time, they can be dispelled away. But taken 10 to 20 at a time, they can't be, and that's the key to it.
Well, as I say, you know, coincidences, you accept one or two coincidences, but when you have a whole pileup of coincidences, then most likely it's not coincidences anymore. In regard to the Amber Listen, about 12 years ago, my brother-in-law, he passed away. He had was a farmer. He had an accident on a farm. It was not nothing serious, but they took him to the hospital. And the next day, my sister was visiting her husband. A nurse came in, gave him a needle. He turned blue and died.
Wow. Did they?
What they later on said, he had an embolism.
Boy, I don't know. One of my early books was about a whole bunch of murders in a hospital, with the mysterious deaths at Ann Arbor back in the 70s. And two nurses were indicted and convicted for going into rooms and shooting in the IVs Pavulon, which did a different thing. But I don't know, if someone came in and gave him a shot and then he died several minutes later, I would certainly have investigated that.
Well, as I say, this later on, my sister, she fought it, and the judge told her not to go any further in court.
Wow.
Right away. But anyway, a lot of things happening, and when people become aware of it, and it's high time that people start waking up, all those people we at one time were brought up to trust, we cannot trust them anymore.
Yes, it's a sad thing that many of the things that are going on.
Right. Well, thank you, Werner, for your phone call. We're going to move on. Let's take Jeff in Vermont. Jeff, welcome to the program.
Great show again, Deanna. Hi, Mr. Wilcox.
Hi.
Yeah, I was with the infiltration that was taken over by the communists in the 40s and 30s. Imagine, I think it was Khrushchev that said that we'll take over the United States without firing a shot. And I think the Bolshevik Revolution came to America in that time period, and I think they're succeeded.
I think you're right.
I think, and another thing, I think Patton realized that, you know, the Nazis, National Socialism, was actually pretty soft on England, and they could have done a lot more damage than what they did. And whenever they invaded a country, they didn't put an iron curtain over the country. They let their governments run to the best of their ability. And they were under, you know, occupation, but it wasn't bad. And I think Patton, after he realized what Hitler really kind of did not want, you kind of thought of England as their cousins, you know, that people, and he thought the Russians and the Bolsheviks were very aggressive people. And I think he kind of agreed with Operation Barbarossa, but he was doing the will of, obviously, Roosevelt, who was always supporting the Russians throughout the whole war against Hitler. And I just think that, you know, I think Patton was coming around and seeing the true light of the evils of World War II and everybody ganging up on Germany. And I think, and when he went through Germany, the devastation, the murder and killing of all the German peoples for no reason, there's a good book by Thomas Goodrich out that goes into detail about that. And I think it was what they did to the German people was horrific.
I think that Patton, there's no question that Patton regarded Hitler as dirt, and he wanted to kill him and kill him as fast as he could. He did not like card-carrying Nazis, but not all Germans were card-carrying Nazis. He regarded Stalin as worse than Hitler. And I frankly have to say that it's an even Steven deal, if not worse, because Stalin killed so many of his own people. Hitler killed a lot of his own people too, but he parsed them off. But those were two evil, evil people. And Patton knew that the Russians, what they wanted to do, you know, Stalin's whole deal was to get a buffer. He wanted a buffer, and he got it in the in Eastern Europe, and he just enslaved all those people. And as Patton said, we've wrested Europe from one tyrant and given it to an even worse tyrant. So I don't see they were both bad, and Patton wanted to get rid of both of them.
Well, didn't Patton say that we were fighting the wrong people, and that we should have been fighting against Russia with the Germans?
Well, you know, I don't remember him saying that or running into that. He might have, you know, as I said, he felt that always he was an anti-communist, it's true as Jeff said, the Germans had fought communism, and that was part of why they went to war with Russia. They hated Russia and Germany had a long-standing fight against themselves, against each other. And when communism came, it was a real terrible thing for the Germans, and they hated it, and they wanted to get rid of it. But then again, Hitler and Stalin, you know, made a pact together too, so they. You know, they did crazy things.
Well, they did that in order to prevent Russia from invading Germany, because Hitler was fighting a war on the Western Front. He didn't want to chance having
two con men playing their cards is what it was.
Well, you have to look at England too. When Germany invaded Poland, Russia did it at the same time, and they.
By deal, too.
Then they declared war on Germany. They didn't declare war on Russia. I think there's a lot of things that people have to really look into when it comes to World War II. And I know there's a lot of preconceived conceptions about the war.
I agree with you 100% there. We are peeling the onion right now, and there's a whole new look at World War II. And there will be much that will be overturned in the years to come. There's a new depth to what happened. The victors write the history, and then you look at it years later, and you might see something different.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Deanna. That's a great show. Thank you, Mr. Wilcox. I'll be definitely picking up your book, and have a great day.
Thank you. Thank you, Jeff. All right. Let's take James in Kansas. James, welcome to the program.
In 2004, I was in the Eisenhower Museum in Abilene, and they seemingly have omitted any reference to Patton.
Maybe, interesting.
Maybe Mr. Wilcox could go up there and refresh their memory.
Yeah, that's very interesting you say that, because Eisenhower didn't come to Patton's funeral. He's always been that way with Patton, and he used to, in cables to Marshall, he would laugh at Patton's loyalty to him, Eisenhower. Eisenhower was not Mr. Grandfather like he appeared when he was our president. Eisenhower, you know, was very involved in the assassination of Darlan early in the war. He was a ruthless guy and a very, very tough guy in that sense. I can see that. They didn't like Patton, and maybe that's a reflection of what they did to him.
Really? Well, I'll hang up and let somebody else talk. So, but I mean, I just thought I'd point that out. But
thank you. Yeah.
Nice museum there, and Patton seems to have been definitely forgotten. Okay, I'll hang up and say goodbye.
Okay, thanks, James. All righty, let's take Ed in Utah. Ed, welcome to the program.
Thanks a lot, Deanna. Mr. Wilcox, you said that a new understanding will come about concerning WW2, and I concur, but it's largely going to be due to, well, legwork like yours, and, of course, the Spangola show on RBN here. This is what's pushing it. It may not be a lot of people at this point, but nowhere else can this two-way dialogue take place other than RBN right here on this particular show. I just wanted to say that. Before I want to address your premise, Mr. Wilcox, the first two little things, though, Deanna, you brought up Eisenhower. According to Michael Collins Piper,
That thought. We do have to take a three-minute break. We will be right back, and we'll pick it up from there.
Okay.
Annoying collection calls.
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
An effective, 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available to be shipped out to you, rush delivery. Heart and Body Extract is a 100% natural, organic, and wild-crafted formula made out of garlic, hawthorn berries, hawthorn leaves, coleus, motherwort, bilberry, butcher's broom kelp, mistletoe, ginger, and cayenne pepper. It is an excellent formula designed to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Order your two-month supply by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. Take the high road to a long and happy life. HeartandBody.com.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today has been Robert K. Wilcox. His website is robertkwilcox.com. The book is Target Patton, The Plot to Assassinate General George S. Patton. You need to buy that book and read it. Okay, Ed, we cut you off right at the break, so please continue your question.
Yeah, a couple little asides to my lead up here, and real quick. According to Michael Collins Piper at the American Free Press newspaper, he wrote about the daughter of FDR that apparently recruited Eisenhower after hearing him at a speech out in Seattle. And apparently she cabled her father and said, there's your man. And from that point on, it did seem like he moved up into the ranks in the favor of the globalists at the time. So I just wanted to throw that out there. And you mentioned Forrestal and the suspicious death of him. I think, Deanna, His fate was sealed when he publicly said, after the war, when the new Zionist Israel was not a done deal yet, he said, send the Jew to Peru. I do believe that's what sealed his fate. And to that end, where I want to talk to your premise, Mr. Wilcox, is that it is definitely a thing that's always seems to be left out of the dialogue on a lot of discussion on this, and that is, of course, that I do believe that the Zionist homeland of Israel, hooker by crook, by the Stern Gang and what have you, was the ultimate goal, and that Patton, in the open letters to his wife, talking about the horrific hordes from the East, he was obviously talking about the Jewish power and the moneyed interests, the ones that out of the Rothschilds there had financed Winnie and the rest of them corrupt people, going right back to the Trotskyite FDR pact of 1933. You talk about Hitler-Stalin pact. Let's look at the Stalin-FDR pact of 33 when he gave them equipment and gave them honor by recognizing them. So I think that's where the New World Order was headed and is still heading at breakneck speed.
All right. What do you think, Bob?
I don't know about that. When he spoke about the hordes from the East, I think he was talking about the Russians. And I have not read anything that makes me feel like what the caller said. I don't know. These are things I haven't researched.
Mr. Wilcox, would you perhaps, as you've done a great interview today with Deanna Spangola, who's numero uno here when it comes to history at RBN, but Michael Collins Piper, and I know that Ms. Spangola will endorse him, he's a historian, and he's against the court historians, and he is the modern torchbearer for Eustace Mullins and people that were allied with people like Ezra Pound at the time. Maybe you would do a written interview of some sort with Michael Collins Piper or some of the other great writers at the American Free Press, Barnes Review.
Oh, sure. I read Barnes.
Well, there you go.
I've seen Barnes Review, and of course, I'd be happy to. I these are things I have not researched them, and I don't like to give hard opinions on things I haven't researched. So,
well, that's because you're very honorable. I do appreciate the time here, Deanna.
Thank you so much, Ed.
Mm-hmm.
And we've just about run out of time. Mona, I'm sorry we are not able to take your call, but we've run out of time. Bob, thank you so much for your book. Thank you so much for being on the program and explaining this. I think we could talk for another couple of hours.
Deanna. I really appreciate it. And, yeah, we could. There's so much to talk about, isn't there?
Exactly. All the details about that assassination. But thank you so much.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye, listeners. We'll talk tomorrow. Thank you.